So we are in week 3 of Lent, walking through Matthew as he tries to convince his audiences that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the one the Jewish people have been waiting for, the Savior for all humanity. Jesus came to fulfill everything that was prophesied about him. Sunday, Brandon shared from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus laid out a quiet, unnoticed, unspectacular way to practice our faith that stands in contrast to the way many choose to live their lives in the here and now. Tonight we turn to chapter 7 of Matthew. Jesus gives a warning. The warning of twos. There's a narrow path and a wide path. There are those who are here to help, those who are here to hurt. And we can't follow Jesus with half measure. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13, the wide and narrow path. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Jesus describes two entrances, two gates, and every single person will come to a spot in their life's journey. Well, they will need to choose. They will need to choose a gate, and one of them is very large, and one of them is very small. These entrances that Jesus is talking about, they come to us, and we will all reach this place where we will need to decide. Will we follow in our sin and our selfishness, or will we enter into his kingdom? And regardless of our differences, who we are, what our purpose is, the direction of our lives, each and every one of us will at some point stand in front of these two gates, and we will need to choose which one of them we will decide to walk through. And Jesus tells us which gate most people will choose. The wide gate is very easy to recognize. It's easy to walk through. It's very natural. It's very well lit. It's easy to recognize because there's usually a large crowd pushing its way through. Wide gates are very inviting, very easy to get through. With the wide gates, you don't have to worry about offloading any of your baggage. All the stuff you've heaped on in your life, you can just keep it and walk through this gate. The wide gate is accommodating to all, without anybody really having to make any sacrifices to get through. You don't have to change. You can do life. We can all just do life our way. You can make your own rules. There's no restrictions. The wide gate tolerates. It is very, very attractive. And beyond the wide gate is a broad road. And there is room for everyone on this broad road, and there seems to be no boundaries. So going down this road looks fun, and everyone on it seems to be having a great time. Since it's the popular road, we can be rather reckless. It's an easy road. But unfortunately, this is the road that leads to death, destruction, and an eternity of pain. But if we look, there is a second gate. It's a smaller gate, much smaller in comparison. And only one or two may squeeze through this gate, probably at a time. It's a narrow gate, and it's a narrow road. And going down this path will probably take some effort. This narrow gate is in the shape of a cross. And if you walk through this gate, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If we are going to enter through the narrow gate, Jesus must become first in our lives. Entering through the narrow gate means entering into a life where we say that it is no longer about me, but it is about the one who has chosen me. On this road of life, it seems so easy to be lulled away by complacency. We lose sight of the finish line. It's easy to turn aside from this path that we are on. Have you ever known one of those people who just seem to be on fire for Christ? Dedicated to follow him, and they just really get into his word? I mean, they serve hard. I mean, they seem to be all in, and they're connected with some church family, and then all of a sudden, they're not. I mean, probably all of us know somebody who's like that at some point. So what happens to these people? So they've taken their eyes off the path. They've forgotten where they're walking. Sam Kennison was a well-known comedian throughout the 80s. I realize I've just lost half the room. But he was very brash, very crude, and controversial. He would talk about anything. There was no topic that was off limits to Sam Kennison. I mean, he would bash marriage, world hunger, AIDS, and religion. He was great at bashing religion, but he knew a lot about it. His dad was a pastor. His two older brothers were pastors. He grew up going to a private Christian school, and he himself was a pastor. And throughout most of the 70s, actually, Sam preached in some of the hardest parts of Chicago. He stood on the street corner preaching the word of God. But in 1979, he just walked away. He walked away from all of it to become a comic. He lost sight of the finish line. He lost sight of his path. We don't stay on the narrow road by accident. We stay on it by being guided by Jesus Christ and his word. There's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. Jesus then warns us that there is a true and a false prophet. We continue with verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are, what's that word? Words are hard. Ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Scripture has a lot to say about wolves. And it's never a good thing. Wolves are treacherous. They're dangerous. And when presented in God's word, and when Jesus says, watch out for false prophets, and compares this to ferocious wolves, I don't think that's a compliment. If a wolf shows up and he's snarling and frothing at the mouth, we know. We can see that that's dangerous, and we can stay away. We can see what's right in front of us, but Jesus gives us even a more dangerous situation when he says, watch out, because they can slip in among the sheep. covered in fleece. They disguise themselves. And this is what false prophets and false teachers do. The Apostle Paul also knew this would be one of the greatest dangers to God's people. And he said in Acts, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on guard. And in 2 Peter, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even deny the sovereignty of God who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you and with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. Their destruction has not been sleeping. When you examine the fruit that comes from these people, from these people's lives, it's destruction, it's poisonous, and it's deadly. It doesn't create unity. It doesn't create unity of purpose and spirit. God is the God of light. He reveals truth. God's word is truth. And his people walk in this light because they have put away these destructive practices. Wolves in sheep's clothing claim to be followers of God, claim to walk in this light. But what they do and say in secret, in private, and behind the scenes is completely different. Their greed makes their true intentions shown. I haven't seen it too much lately, but I remember in my teen years, you'd always see them on television, the prophets, claiming that if you'd send them $1,000 check, I hear some giggles. If you send them $1,000 check, you would be blessed. It would be seed money of faith. As if these special prophets can deliver these promises through their ministry. Those who would promise the ability to buy God's favor for you. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, and their fruit and the fruit they produce is well beyond bad. When you have true and false prophets, true and false leaders, Jesus said you will also have true and false disciples. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father will enter heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons, and in your name, perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I remember this old sergeant who I had. He kind of had this way of putting me and everyone else who would be around me or around us and notice. He would just put things very straight and very plain. And he would say to me, saying it don't make it so. And what he was telling me is to get off my butt and get to work. We just talked about false teachers and leaders and the fruit that they bear. And in the context of wolves among sheep, Jesus makes this statement that puts all of us on notice. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's kind of a heart check statement. Now, I want to be clear, Jesus is not talking about works theology here, of earning his grace and salvation. In fact, this discussion is completely opposite of that. Jesus indicates that a day will come and many will say to him, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name do many miracles? These individuals who believe they've done it all, they believe that the stuff that they've done has gained their entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And it really isn't the little stuff. It's the preaching, it's the teaching, it's the engaging in spiritual warfare. And Jesus isn't talking to a big crowd of people here. He's talking to the church. He's talking to people who defend themselves with these words, in your name I prophesied, in your name I cast out demons, in your name I performed these miracles. And maybe the problem is in the statement, in your name. Jesus used that statement 3 times in one verse. Is what you're doing more important than Christ? Is he just becoming the name you speak and not the Savior you're passionate about loving and serving? So we've talked about 2 gates, 2 kinds of prophets, 2 kinds of disciples. And he concludes this section of teaching with 2 kinds of builders. There's a wise builder and a foolish builder. Verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a crash. I've been a big fan of NCIS for a long time. It's been on television for 15 seasons, and the main character is Leroy Jethro Gibbs. And Leroy has 69 rules, these codes, only about 36 of them have ever been televised, but he has 69 of them. These words of wisdom he shares with those he works with, the agents he works with, to make them better agents, better people. Some of my favorite Gibbs rules I want to share with you. Rule number 14, bend the line, but don't break it. I like that one. Rule number 23, don't mess with Marines coffee if you want to live. Right, Mike? That one goes for the Army people as well. Probably against all of them. Rule number 40. If it seems like somebody's out to get you, they are. Rule number 42, never accept an apology for someone who just sucker punched you. That's a good one. Rule number 16, if someone thinks they have the upper hand, break it. I don't get to use that rule as much now that I became a pastor, but it's still a pretty good rule. My son and I decided one day that we needed to come up with our own set of rules, our own code to live by. We did, however, know we could not come up with 69 rules and remember them all. So we worked them down to five. Five dinger rules. I'm pretty sure that my son Levi made his fiance memorize these rules before they could get married. She did draw the line, though, and say that they could not be in the vows. My daughter-in-law, Alyssa, is a very patient, very kind woman. Anyway, we have five dinger rules, and I want to share these rules with you tonight. Rule number one, remember who is first. Number two, love the one you're with. Number three, always carry a knife. It's biblical. It's biblical. Number four, don't ask questions you don't want answers to. Number five, anything worth building is worth overbuilding. Now, there are many meanings to some of these rules. Just wait for it. Someday there'll be a sermon on these five rules. But for now, we're just going to highlight number five just a little bit. Anything worth building is worth overbuilding. If you're going to do it right. If you're going to start it, finish it. Whether that's a house, a career, a relationship, a family, your commitment to Christ. It's worth putting everything you have into it, plus just a little bit more. No half-heartedness, halfway excuses will complete any task. We can say the right things, we can do the right things, we can act the right way. But if it isn't built correctly, if it isn't built to last the long haul, is it going to stand? At the end of the day, the only two people who know the answer to that question is going to be you and God. Jesus said there are two gates. There's two kinds of prophets, two kinds of disciples, two kinds of builders. The way we choose heaven or hell is not by majority vote. It's a choice every single one of us is going to have to make at some point in our lives. We need to commit to follow Christ wholeheartedly. No half measure will make it. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word, Lord, that says we need to be all in. Lord, we pray for the strength, for the energy needed, Lord, to pick the narrow gate. Lord, to pick the path that isn't always the easiest to go down, Lord, but to know that it is the right road to go down. Lord, make us a people who look to you to keep our eye on you, Lord, where we don't stray to the left or to the right, Lord, but to keep our eye on you so that we can finish this race, Lord. So that, Lord, there is no doubt that when we stand before you and say, Lord, He will say, come forward, my child. Lord, help us to do the things that we know we need to do just because of our love for you. It's not of our own strength, Lord, but it is all because of you. Help us to be the men and the women that you have chosen us, you have called us to be, Lord, just because of you. Lord, help us to call on your strength every single day. Lord, we ask this in your awesome, in your holy name. Amen.